Good morning. Here and now, we are gathered as God's children to praise God and to witness to our faith as we celebrate the life of Bunny Pitcher. We recall Bunny's faith claimed in her baptism and our own, that in Christ's death and resurrection, death has been destroyed and life has been restored. We come together in grief, acknowledging our human loss. We come together in joy and celebration, remembering a life well lived and filled with hope of eternal life. May God grant us grace, that in pain we may find comfort, in remembering we may have hope, and in death we may witness resurrection. For Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and I am life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Because I live, you shall live also." Welcome to the United Methodist Church of Westport and Weston. I'm Reverend Heather Sinclair, the pastor here, and on behalf of the congregation, I welcome all of you to this church home of Bunny's. I thank you for being here today to worship, to celebrate, and to remember. So that we may do that uninterrupted, I ask you to silence all of the cell phones or devices or other things that may distract us from worship. And Ayoung, I'm afraid that might need to be the organ, too, because we're hearing that buzz. Can you all hear it from out there?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I think we may need to move to piano, Ayoung. Following the service, all of you are welcome to a reception in Fellowship Hall that's being hosted by the United Methodist Women for refreshments and also to greet Bunny's family. I invite you now to rise as we sing "For the Beauty of the Earth," which can be found in the red hymnal in front of you on page 92. Give to us now your grace, that as we encounter the mystery of death, we may see the light of eternity. Help us to live as those who are prepared to die. And when our days here are accomplished, enable us to die as those who go forth to live. so that living or dying, our life may be in you, and that nothing in life or death will be able to separate us from your great love in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. And from Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose hearts are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they will make a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. And from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. God has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, God has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in their toil. For the fate of humans and the fate of animals is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, and humans have no advantage over the animals, for all is vanity. All go to one place, all are from the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knows whether the human spirit goes upward and the spirit of animals goes downward to the earth? So I saw that there is nothing better than that all should enjoy their work, for that is their lot. Who can bring them to see what will be after them? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All of our lives are a collection of moments and stories and images. No single remembrance can represent the whole of a life. And that is part of why we are here today, to gather together the various stories and remembrances, thoughts and feelings we hold as we give thanks for the life of Bunny. We are here in this place not only because of Bunny's love for the church, her involvement and her dedication through the years, but because of her abiding faith in God, which carried her through the joys and the challenges of life. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 3:17, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure in all the fullness of God." This all-encompassing love of God filled Bunny's heart and life. It was present in her deep relationships, in her care and concern for all of God's creation, and her personal faith. Bunny's daughter, Kim, shared with me a collection of various stories and memories and pictures, some of which will be part of this service today and that you'll have a chance to see in the reception later, things that her mother had collected through the years. Stories and devotions that tell a lot about Bunny. So first I want to read to you a story in Bunny's own words about her dog, Teddy. If you knew Bunny, you can hear her voice in this and her love for animals. She wrote this: "It's funny, today when Teddy went down, I wanted to toast a fine, noble, loyal friend. No way would the right words come out. It's a big wrench. Teddy was born in our bedroom. His mother, Toasty, was a good lady, a little trampy, perhaps, but a gentle and lovable dog. But that son of hers was absolutely top drawer. There wasn't anything that we tried in training that he wouldn't do with grace. He had lovely manners, and I'm sure a fine sense of humor." As you heard in the verses I read from Ecclesiastes, there's this a belief in those verses that animals and people are the same value in God's creation, that they both breathe the same air and die the same death, and that was clearly a part of Bunny's view of the world. Her love for creation was part of her love for God. Bunny told me in the hospital a couple of weeks ago how much she loved talking with God, just talking with God throughout the day. Her hope-filled faith was a constant part of her life. Another piece that Kim shared with me is entitled, "Slow Me Down, Lord." It's a small prayer card, the kind of thing you could fit in your pockets or your purse and take with you as a reminder to enjoy the little things in life. Flowers, spider webs, friends, and lines from a good book. It has a list of things to help slow us down and ends with these words: "Remind me each day that the race is not always to the swift, that there is more to life than increasing its speed. Let me look upward into the towering oak and know that it grew great and strong because it grew slowly and well. That is a lovely description of a life well lived, a life well remembered, a life to be shared, the life that Bunny shared with those who knew and loved her. And so in conclusion, I offer one more piece called Christopher and His Name. Do you like to write your name? A little boy named Christopher does. Do you write your name on paper, with a pencil, with a crayon, with a paintbrush, or sometimes with a pen? Christopher does. Do you ever write your name on the sand at the beach? Christopher did. He looked around for a stick, but couldn't find one, so he wrote his name with his finger. And it looked like this. You can imagine the crooked letters of a little boy in the sand on the beach. Perhaps the picture of Bunny on the back of your bulletin. Then, guess what happened? A gentle wave came flowing up on the sand and washed his name away. But not Christopher, only his name. Christopher smiled. He thought it was funny that one minute his name was there and the next it wasn't. Even if my name goes, he said, I'm still here. My name isn't the real me. The beautiful reminder of the fragility of life, even a life of 97 years, and the blessing that we are more than our names, more than the stories and remembrances, but we are all of those together, bound by the love of each other and held by the everlasting peace and love of God. Jesus said to his disciples prior to his death, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. May that peace of Christ abide with you today and always as you remember Bunny. Amen. Let us now rise and sing All Things Bright and Beautiful. As I said before, there are always many, many stories to share. And Kim, Bunny's daughter, asked me to share some remembrances and reflections that she wrote down since her mother's passing. And so I read this to you in Kim's words. Mom died on a bright, sunny, clear, blue sky day in October, the perfect fall day. Even after death, her face was in the sun, her favorite spot. Timing is interesting. What a difference a day makes. Her body had had enough. The last week of her life was no picnic, very frustrating and anxious. One always feels like the style of death might be different for a nice, optimistic person, but the physical body did its best for her for a very long time. Hail, hail, vodka and Vicodin. She was lucid to the end, which in some ways was more difficult for her and us, her caregivers. She grew up in New Jersey in the Oranges and knew my father when kids. Mom's family had a beach house near Bayhead, and Mom was part of the Bayhead Bubbles, a little singing and dancing group of gals to perform at the yacht club dinners. She actually was known in her later years as Bubbly Bunny because of her personality. She was always game for anything. This was, however, a source of great embarrassment and eye-rolling for our family. She gleefully joined in the Native American dances in Arizona during their demonstrations, happily did Greek dance lessons during dinner at a Greek restaurant, and one thing some of you may relate to, whistling to the music in the supermarket. I would make a beeline to another aisle right quick. One time she returned a sweater to the Fairfield department store after it went on sale to get a discount. Seriously, Mom? And let's not forget the hula lessons. Jack LaLanne at home I could deal with. In later years, I was proud of her spontaneity. Once she was limping a bit with a cane across a lobby at a high-end hotel in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. There is a serious but gentle steward on the side wall overseeing the comings and goings of said hotel. As Mom walked past him, she simply looked over at him and said, "It's an old football injury." Completely straight face. Bunny also had a very quiet, aware side. She formed many one-on-one relationships with people because she was truly interested in them. People said she was a pip, she was a force, she was a kick in the pants. I could tell her anything. I would leave the room when friends came over to see her, as they each had their own talks with her. She was a mom to a few of my friends and to some of her friends. She was a Girl Scout leader. Again, much to my chagrin, for at that time I had outgrown scouting. Oh well, I had many Tuesday nights at the library studying. Mom was an avid reader, great letter writer, and a wonderful travel diary writer. She was excellent at crossword puzzles, only done in pen. She loved double entendres, and our minds had to be sharp at every turn. She also drove for the Red Cross for 30 years and was a steady blood donor, gallon status. She took dance classes in her 40s and early 50s here in Westport. She loved the cold also, snow falling, cold wind blowing, freezing Dad in bed though, him under piles of blankets. She loved storms, never afraid of those. They excited her. She really did appreciate the wonders of the earth. A little green blade of grass emerging, the wonder of cloud formations, the ocean, whether it be calm or roaring with white caps and foam, the bright sunshine. She loved seashells. She found flowers just amazing, actually, in their beauty and honest presence that they emit. And if there was a fillet of beef on the kitchen counter for dinner, she would thank the cow, truly. Also, in later years, Mom did some fun and funny things. When I stayed at her house and would go out for the evening, I would come home through the door, and on the floor, consistently, there would be a note detailing dinner or pet care. Hope I had a good time, etc. More than once, a Johnny Depp called again. I have a large folder of those, saved them all. We had a tradition of putting a stuffed animal tucked in one of our beds, complete with open book, reading glasses perched upon a pudgy nose, held in place by floppy ears. So very, very creative. She has one small pink pig named Douglas. I think Douglas I saw in Fellowship Hall. I think he's here today. So she insisted I take him with me on each and every travel site and adventure. I would initially buck, then think about it and acquiesce, dutifully perching him on windowsills, dashboards, beach towels. He's been everywhere. That was Mom's form of traveling with me. How could I possibly refuse? Mom would also look skyward and see Dad as a goldfinch or a seagull. He was, after all, a Navy pilot in World War II. Death is a part of the life cycle. Gorgeous leaves falling all around us right at this very moment. And we celebrate nature's beauty during this botanical transition. But the life-giving chlorophyll has withdrawn from the leaves. That is why they seem to change color. But these are their original glorious colors. Light and shadow are some of the most stunning aspects of any season. My mother was a true optimist, full of faith. Probably her strongest suit. Tomorrow will be better, a favorite saying of hers. She did completely embody the essence of optimism, best illustrated on the wall in front of you. Faith is the bird that sings when the dawn is still dark. My grief is not only for my mother. I have pictured a big round pond that contains all the grief of friends who have lost moms and dads. Anyone who has gone through this exact same process, full of feelings, many that at times are incongruous or conflicting in some way. This is a passage from a book by Mary Pfeiffer. Grief isn't something to just endure. It is also a reflection of our capacity to love. It allows us to understand the most profound human experience at the most intimate level. Facing our grief requires openness and courage. We must explore it with curiosity and patience, and we must allow it to stay in our hearts until it is ready to leave. The world looks a little different to me now. Some things seem more urgent and/or important. Others seem flat and lifeless. This is not a negative feeling, just a shift in perception. I am so happy and fulfilled that I shared my mom, Bunny, with so many good friends and acquaintances. She was truly a widespread, global kind of soul. I thank each and every one of you for joining together to spend precious time here and now, in the present. Blessings to all of you. Thank you, Kim, for those words. As I said, there are many, many stories. Are there others who wish to share a story, a thought, a remembrance of Bunny? Please. If you wouldn't mind using a microphone, it will help everyone hear you better. But if you just... real loud from there. I know that there are endless stories, and there are endless ways that you are comfortable in sharing those stories. So I invite you, if standing up and speaking is not your thing, that's okay. But come to the reception. Share a story with each other. Share with Kim or Wendy or with others, with each other. Because it is in the sharing of those stories and the sharing of the love and the remembrances that Bunny lives on in each and every one of you. And Sue is going to share a song with us now. The microphone? Do you want the microphone?
Thank you.
It's coming. It's just a little.
Now to sing a lovely
it's
back.
Coming.
Here is Mama Cats.
Stars shining bright above you. Night breezes seem to whisper, I love you. Birds singing in the sycamore tree, dream a little dream of me. Say nighty-night and kiss me. Just hold me tight and tell me you'll miss me while I'm alone and blue as can be. Dream a little dream of me. Leave all worries behind you, but in your dreams, whatever they be, dream a little dream of me. Dream a little dream.